lot about things kind of centered around veterans benefits, things like the PACT Act, for example. It is probably the hottest topic right now in the veteran community as it relates to benefits. So today we are going to talk a little bit about where veterans should go to find said benefits, how to find help applying, and help with just other things. And I realize that this is probably a topic that a lot of people cover and a lot of people know about, but just in case, I thought it would be worth the time to go over these things here on this show. So please stick with us. Don't go away. We start now. Hey everybody, and welcome here to the next episode of the Richard Leonard Show. Before we get started, I know that you will not mind me telling you about how this show is made possible. That's Cortez Wealth Management. Get yourself over to AmericaFirstRetirementPlan.com. Carlos Cortez Jr. Offers a 100% free webinar on Tuesday and Thursday evenings. He wants to help you to develop, plan, and execute a tax-free retirement plan. So go over there, sign up for the webinar. It's 100% free. Get the information. If you have any questions about what is covered, about the information that is given to you, please do not hesitate to get a hold of Carlos by phone, by text, by email, in person. Whatever you got to do, he is more than happy to sit down with you and go over all of your questions and concerns and make it all right. So AmericaFirstRetirementPlan.com, get yourself over there and sign up, plan, and execute a tax-free retirement plan. Get it done, folks. You deserve to do it. AmericaFirstRetirementPlan.com. Okay, before we get started on benefits and things like that, I would like to give everybody an update on Rudy Ruiz's situation. If you've been watching this show, especially the last couple weeks, we were talking about a fellow by the name of Rudy. Rudy was a single father to four children between the ages of 6 and 16. He contracted lymphoma, seemingly from exposure to open-air burn pits. And once the PACT Act passed back in August, was supposed to be implemented this last October, he died waiting for his benefits to be granted. About 2.5 weeks ago, Rudy was given a prognosis of about 2 weeks. He lasted maybe 8 or 9 days of that 2 weeks. And died 2 Mondays ago. And so earlier this week on Wednesday, Gabriel, his uncle, and the rest of his family buried him. They had his funeral service. And I was very fortunate enough to be able to stop by the reception, meet Gabriel face to face, and just kind of see the family come together. But we had a very good conversation. We talked about what was potentially going to happen with the kids. You know, the family is going through the necessary steps to receive custody of the children and ensure that they stay with their family. For whatever reason, their mother is not or has not been in the picture. I don't know the full story, but I don't think that it matters. But what matters to me is that this family is banding together, and they are going to ensure that these kids are raised and that they have a chance to be successful contributing members to our society, which I think is fantastic. also, there's been a little bit of movement by the VA on Rudy's claim, from what I understand, although not complete clarity, which I'm not surprised about either. Rudy has promised that he will keep me updated on the process and in any news that comes along with Rudy's case. And so whenever I get those things, for those of you who have been following it and who are concerned, I will provide you with those updates. Excuse me. I also want to take a second to acknowledge those of you from this audience that went to the GoFundMe page for Rudy and donated some money. I want you to know that they are extremely grateful. The sacrifice in which you make by donating the resources in which you work very hard for are not lost on them. They're extremely, extremely grateful. And so Rudy asked me to pass that along in a show to my audience. And so I'm going to do that. And I thank you. And those of you who didn't know or maybe forgot or whatever, the GoFundMe page is still up. So if you would like to and you're so inclined to donate a little bit of money, no matter how little or how much, it's all very much appreciated. And it humbles me to know that there are people out there that will, donate some money to perfect strangers. Not only is Rudy a perfect stranger, but I'm a perfect stranger. I never had the opportunity to meet Rudy, but I was compelled by his story to put it out to you guys. And so, it's very humbling to me, for me to know that you guys are out there and that you care. So thank you. And those of you who would like to, the GoFundMe page is still up. If you're not able to or don't want to, that's okay. But if you keep Rudy's children and family in your thoughts and prayers, that is also appreciated. All of it helps. And all of it goes a long way. So thank you again. So let's move on now. Benefits, where to go, how to find them, and who to ask for help is kind of the whole point I want to talk about here. I recently went to my local veteran service office and had a pretty crappy first experience. I had called, and for those of you who watch and remember Ben and Jason, I called them when I left. And my words to them were, if you would like to go into some place and know 1,000% beyond the shadow of a doubt that you're inconveniencing somebody, walk into our County Veteran Service office. It is not a very welcoming place. It's located, first of all, it's located at our county government center, you know, so where you go to pay your taxes, the courthouse is there, the jail is there, you know, all the county offices are housed there. And the first thing I noticed was that they don't have their own space that's just set aside for veterans, even if it was, you know, a 20 by 15 room in a building. You have to walk into the community services department, which is where people go for, you know, welfare and SNAP and WIC and, you know, those kinds of benefits. And you walk to the desk. There's no sign up that says veteran service. But you look down on the little map when you walk in the door, and it tells you that it's on the second floor. And when you walk up, when I walked up to the desk and I said, "Hey, I would like to speak to somebody from the Veteran Service Office," the programmed response that I got was, "Do you have an appointment? If you don't have an appointment, they won't see you. So here's the card. Here's their card. Call them and make an appointment." It's okay, I guess, but the whole point of me walking in there was because I had been calling for, you know, days. I think I made my first call on the 4th or the 5th of November, and this was now the 16th when I walked in there. When you call this particular office, they tell you, leave a message, a detailed message with your name, your number, and your issue, but only leave one message, as multiple messages will backlog us. It'll back us up and slow down our response time. So now I'm going on, 10, 11, 12, 13 days or whatever it is with no callback, no voicemail saying, hey, we got your call. We'll get back to you as soon as we can. Nothing like that, which is why I walked into the Veterans Service office in the first place. And then I get a programmed response from the receptionist, which I understand. I think that their main focus is not Veterans Service office stuff. Their main concern is the welfare office and the benefits, the community services portion of that particular department. And so I expressed to her, well, I've called multiple times. I haven't got a response. Can somebody come out here and make an appointment with me? Otherwise, I don't know how I'm supposed to make an appointment. So she gets on her computer and she types a message. And about 5 minutes later, I'm greeted by I wouldn't even say greeted. I am confronted by a Veterans Service office staff member. This staff member had told me that they are in the middle of a meeting with another veteran, and how can I help you? Well, here's how you can help me. I need a couple different things. I need this, and I need this, and I need this. I need three things. And a couple of those things, from my understanding, is the only those guys can do it in conjunction with the county taxpayer people. And so I explained that, and then I was told to, here's my card, give me a call, leave your social security number, your name, and your number. I'll check into it, and I'll call you this afternoon. And I'm thinking, well, why don't I just write it on the back of your card? Then you could take it. Then there's no need for another phone call to potentially not get a response. but that didn't work out that way. So I said, okay, and I took it, and I called when I got out to my truck, left her the information. But here's the thing. There is a reason why veterans give up on trying to work with the VA to get benefits, to get answers, to get medical care, to get any kind of help. And it's because of interactions like this. Now, I have professional working experience in these types of roles, in these types of jobs. So I understand. I understand that in the county in which I live in, it's fast, it's growing fast, which means there's probably an influx of veterans and everybody has questions. They're only a 3-person show. And so I get it. But the interaction, initial interaction, was not a pleasant one. I felt like it was a, hey, just here's this, get out of here, and I'll deal with it later. Which it doesn't hurt my feelings, but it kind of makes me wonder what else is going on in that office. How many people are waiting for help? How many people are calling and not getting responses? Stick with us. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. Welcome back here for the next segment. But when we ended the last one, we were talking about the County Veterans Service Office. Our county's growing. There's a lot of people coming in, blah, 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 things like that. The place is busy, the county, that is. And this particular office only has 3 people in it. And so I can understand that they have a lot on their plate. I can understand that they maybe get frustrated by people just walking in and demanding to see them to make an appointment. But what is a person supposed to do? Right? There's got to be some understanding on both sides. And I think that there just needs to be a better job all the way around. Maybe they need more people. Maybe they need to hire a part-timer to field calls and to respond to phone calls or whatever it is. I mean, I'm not the manager there. I'm not the boss. I'm just a veteran that lives in the county that was looking for the answer to a couple questions. The other part about the experience is that, and we talked about in the last segment a little bit about why veterans give up on benefits, and we're going to come back to that. But the other part about the experience there is that it wasn't a very welcoming place. I've been to other veteran service offices, and they usually have some kind of welcoming type feel. And it kind of takes away that little bit of maybe anxiety that somebody's feeling, or this just thought that I don't need to go to these people for help type thing. Because I think as veterans, we all kind of are there at some point. I'm not gonna go ask for help. Why would I ask anybody for help? I got through my service pretty good. I don't need guidance. And so walking into a lobby or an office that feels inviting and feels accepting is probably something that people really appreciate, but don't know that they appreciate until they walk into a place like this one. But at the end of the day, I'm not there to look at ferns in the corner and sit on a comfy chair. I have some business to conduct, and they're the people that can help me conduct said business. And so, I mean, I get it. I'm just trying to come up with reasons why things may be the way they are. And I think that part of that reason is that there's a lot of people to help and understaffed, and maybe COVID is part of the reason. But I think that excuse, in my opinion, is kind of losing its luster on me. Why are government offices the only folks that really can use COVID as an excuse for poor or less than desirable customer service? If I don't do my job correctly because of COVID, I still don't get paid, right? And so, and that might be a whole nother discussion, but the reason for their existence, the reason for these veteran service offices to be there for you as a veteran or a family member, a spouse, a child, a widow of a United States military veteran is pretty important. And so here's a little bit about what they're supposed to be able to do for you. They can assist you and your families with many things, in many ways, including answering questions, advising, educating individuals and groups on what benefits are available from the federal, state, county, and local levels of government. So these folks are supposed to be knowledgeable about every benefit that may be available to you, depending on your eligibility, and there's some other things in which will either preclude you from said benefit or grant you access to it. Also, assisting people in completing and filing benefit claims with the VA, which is a very important one, if you ask me. The way that you word your claim, especially the narrative, and the reasons as to why you are claiming said disability with the VA is very important. In fact, it's a fact that veterans who use CVSOs or any kind of veteran service officer who's been trained in the claims process and claims writing receive about 50% more benefits than they would had they do it on their own. Because the way that you describe things, and the way that you talk about your disability, your injury, your condition, it matters. And also, the VA, in my experience, and there's people out there on YouTube, like Combat Craig, for example, is very knowledgeable about claims and the process and things like that. I watch his videos. He's very good. but things like let's say that I was putting in a claim for my three fingers here. My three fingers here on my hand. So I'm putting it because they're broken or they don't work properly or whatever. They get stuck like this, let's say. If I claim just the three fingers, that's what the VA is going to examine for compensation and pension at the VBA level. Now, if I put in my claim that my whole right arm has issues, then they're going to look at my whole right arm. They're going to look at my shoulder. They're going to look at my elbow. They're going to look at all my bones, my muscle tissue, my hands, my wrists, my fingers. And then when you get in with the doctors to do your evaluation, you could say, well, it's these three fingers that are causing me problems. But they've already looked at your whole thing. I've known many veterans who have gotten care. They've gotten granted access to medical care for conditions that they didn't even know they had. They weren't going to claim by this exact thing. You know, if your right knee is hurting you, put in your claim that your whole right leg is bothering you. And so that they look at everything on your body. So just things like that. So they are the ones that are able to help you kind of navigate how to construct your claim and put it out there for judgment by the VA to get benefits, both monetary and the care that you need to make these things either better or livable. And then also representing individuals in VA hearings. Now, this is an interesting one. I really wish that I could have my friend Ben Krause on with me for this exact snippet here. There seems to be some miscommunication / disagreement, I guess you could say, for lack of a better term, between attorneys who specialize in VA hearings and things revolving around the VA court system and the CVSOs. Here in Minnesota, it's interesting because if you hire an attorney like Ben to adjudicate your case with the VA here in the state of Minnesota, you have to sign a waiver that is put forth by the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs that says you understand that you can get the same services from that attorney that you can from the CVSO. Now, I believe that there is a difference. I believe that CVSOs are extremely good at, in my experience, the ones that I've worked with, other than the other day, they're good with benefit stuff. They're good at helping you retrieve your records. They're good at giving you information. If you are going to go into any kind of proceedings or adjudication process that would warrant you to have an attorney, I say it's the better option. County Veteran Service officers and their staffs aren't, they don't have an investigative mindset, so to speak. So things like gathering and preparing evidence, asking questions about things that don't seem quite right, those types of things that you would get from an attorney like Ben Krause, you don't get from a CVSO for the most part. And so, yeah, I acknowledge that I got to pay the guy, but these attorneys, they don't get paid unless you get granted your disability. So if I go into a VA hearing and my retroactive pay is going to be $150,000 and I got to give the guy 3%, well, then I'll give the guy 3%. Because remember, it's not just about the money, it's about the care. It's about the health care as well for that condition. So, but they say this is something that they're there to help you with. The topics in which they say they specialize in are compensation and pension, which is your VA disability, benefits, applications, And then the pension part of it is once you reach a certain age, it turns into a VA pension. And that's kind of it's kind of a complicated situation to navigate. So the CVSO is the person to talk to about doing that. Healthcare, education and training. So there are programs out there for you to be retrained and re-educated in a different career field if your disability precludes you from being able to do the job that you once did or that you would like to do. Employment. So not only will they help you with resources to get retrained, but there's also resources out there to help you find gainful employment in whatever field it is that you're transitioning to. This is a big one, burial and survivor benefits. I don't know that a lot of veterans are 100% familiar with the fact that there are a lot of things in which the government grants you in the event of your death. For example, if you are a veteran and you do not choose to be buried at a national cemetery, for example, here in the St. Paul, Minneapolis metro area, it's Fort Snelling National Cemetery. If I choose not to be buried there and I choose to be buried at Roselawn Cemetery, which is in another place in the city, the VA and the federal government will pay to have like a headstone marker put at my gravesite to signify that I am a veteran, if your family so wishes that you have that. They're also there to help you with housing, transportation, and military records. Now, I'll tell you this. The military records part is huge, in my opinion. When I joined the Army, many people told me, no matter what piece of paper they give you, if it has an Army letterhead on it, or it has anything to do with medical stuff, keep it. And don't ever lose it. Don't ever let it go. If you got to put it in a safety deposit box, do that, because all of those records come into play at some point in your life when and if you need to use your VA benefits. And there's questions about when and where you were. Did you go to the doctor? Did you not? Who was with you? What happened at this time? All those things are annotated in your records. Your personnel file, your medical, your dental, your finance records, all of that stuff is all there, your dates of promotion, everything. So if you don't have those and you're missing those, these are the folks to go to get that stuff back, to have it physically in your hand. That's what they're there for. We're coming up on a break here, so please don't go away. We'll be right back with you. Hey guys, I just want to take a quick minute here to talk to you about Goldco. Goldco has given me the opportunity to talk to you about their Roth IRA backing program. Did you know that you can get up to $10,000 to back your qualified Roth IRA account? Let them back it. Our economy, it's a disaster. Our money, the value of our money is dropping day by day. So do yourself a favor. Call them today, 855-920-3196. That's 855-920-3196. 920-3196. Call Goldco today and let them help you out by backing your IRA with precious metals, gold and silver. 855-920-3196. Call today. Hey folks, and welcome back here. Let's continue on. I want to jump back in while I still got the thought fresh in my mind, but I wanted to get back to the idea of why veterans give up on seeking benefits. I think that there is, well, first of all, there's a stigma that I believe that some veterans have in their mind about going to ask for this type of help is weak. It makes you a mental midget or less than adequate. There's also that group of veterans who may have served at peacetime, or were deployed to a combat area but didn't actually get any trigger time. And so they have this idea that their service is not capable. Their service is not deserving. Deserving is the word I was looking for. Their service is not deserving of the same benefits as somebody who was in a combat role that got trigger time and was out fighting the battles. And I can tell you that, in my opinion, I don't see any other man or woman that wore the uniform as less. Their service is no less than mine, no matter what they did. Now, I believe that, and maybe this is contradictive, but I believe that there are people who served who have done more than I've done, but I don't believe that it makes them more deserving of benefits. Because that's not how it was intended. The regulations aren't written to say, well, if you did this, this, and this during your service, you get these benefits, but if you didn't, you gotta go over to this pool over here. That's not how it reads. And so when you already have this mindset that maybe you're not deserving, or maybe that there's somebody who deserves it more than you and you don't want to take out of the pot, or you don't want to take the time away at a care facility or whatever from somebody who you deem to be more deserving, then you add in this subpar service in many cases. That's why folks are giving up, if you ask me. And I don't necessarily think that it's 100% the fault of the people working in these offices. I think that there are a lot of instances of people just kind of being thrown to the wolves, and they'll get trained when they get around to it. But I think that there's a lot of situations in which they're just happy to have somebody in those chairs to at least answer the phone and get people started down the right track. But I think that we need to do a better job at building out these service offices with the correctly trained staff, as well as the right amount of staff. There's absolutely no reason why a veteran should be calling for, no matter how hard or simple their request is, for 12 or 13 days with no response. And then the lady she told me, well, I got no record of you calling. Well, that tells me that my message is still sitting on the voicemail and never was even answered. And furthermore, if you tell me when you come out there, severely inconvenienced, mind you, that you got no record of me calling, that tells me that you looked it up. You claim to have no record of me calling, but yet you're sitting across the table from another veteran who's there to get help from you. So you're taking time away from him to check it out, to come out and scold me about whether or not I actually called. And so I'll tell you that the individual that I dealt with, or who dealt with me, did exactly what they said they were going to do. I called and left my social security number, my first and last name and the spelling, and the reason for my visit. And this person 100% did what they said they were going to do, which I appreciate. But I still was feeling some type of way even after that conversation, because the place isn't welcoming. The people you talk to aren't welcoming. The process seems to be extremely difficult just to get in front of somebody. And if a person like me who has experience being on the other side of the table and not being the customer but being the staff member and knowing about being overwhelmed, and you have more people than you can help in a day or a week's time, I get it. I understand exactly where that where they're coming from. I know what that feels like. But that's not the veteran's fault. It's not the customer's fault. So when the place isn't welcoming, the interaction isn't welcoming, then veterans are going to give up. And so how many other people is that happening to? And here's the thing, folks, is that these types of interactions and the idea that veterans are giving up on receiving the care in which they need and they've earned in many cases, is this contributing to the suicide rates? Is this contributing to the homelessness issue that we have? I mean, one could probably go all the way around the block and find a way that it contributes to many, many, many issues that veterans in our country have. And so, if these are the only people that you can go to for things like getting help filling out your claim or getting information about what benefits are available to you and where they come from. Is it a state benefit? Is it a county benefit? Is it a national VA benefit? I mean, because they all have different standards for applications, they all have different time periods for responses. And so I don't blame veterans for saying, well, man, screw this. This is just, there's too much going on here and I'm never going to get it anyway, or I'm going to die waiting for it, like in Rudy's case. And so we just need to do better. And I am not the type of person that wants to present you with a problem and then say, go ahead and figure it out. I believe that when you present an issue or a problem, that you got to be able to offer some kind of idea for a solution. And so my idea for a solution is this, that we give a lot of money in this country, a lot of money to places that the citizens probably have zero idea about. And although I will agree that sometimes ignorance is bliss, maybe we don't always want to know where all the money's going. But when you have issues like this popping up, it really makes you want to know where all the money's going. Because if we could funnel $100 million nationally into veteran service offices to hire staff, to make these places for veterans to go to receive benefits more welcoming so that they don't feel they're not pissed off still when they walk through the door, or they don't feel like it's off-putting. And I realize that people are down on their luck, but when I walk into my county building that my tax dollars pay for and walk into a section of that building that's meant for individuals in the county that are receiving welfare or aid, and then have to sift through all those people and the crying babies, and I mean, I hate for this to sound like a comp a, comp a I'm just complaining, but I think that it's important because these places need to be inclusive. Inclusive to veterans. Like it's nice to walk into a place and see a flag with a thank you for your service, even just that. The thing that I really appreciate about walking into a Legion or a VFW is that they always have the little table with the plate and the lemon and the salt and the chair and the place setting for the veterans in which we have lost. That makes it feel, welcoming. Like, you know, like we thought enough to even set a place for the folks no longer with us. So come on in, have a meal, have a beer, sit on down, play some pull tabs, and have fellowship. Now, I'm not saying that the County Veteran Service Officer's office needs to feel like a place for fellowship, but if it's some place that you can go and sit down and feel comfortable, and then have to go and talk to a stranger about, I need money, I need health care, I need a job, can you help me? I think that maybe that would keep a lot of veterans with their eye on the prize and not just throwing their hands up, turning around and walking out and never receiving their benefits. I challenge you guys, the audience of this show, when you meet veterans or veterans that you know, if you have not had this conversation, ask them if they're enrolled in the VA system. And if not, why? And I'm willing to bet that most people are going to say, well, they never get anything done, or you got to wait forever for an appointment. The people don't know what they're talking about. When you go in there, it seems like they don't want you there and they're pissed off that you're there. Something like that will be the response. But then I also challenge these folks to think about it from the caregiver's side, that County Veteran Service Office staff member. Think about it from their side. Some of them talk to 20 veterans a day. Some of them talk to 2 veterans a day. Some of them may have had a client they've been trying to help with benefits for 3 months, and all of a sudden they die. And the benefits aren't attainable through that way anymore. Now there's a different avenue to go down. And so there's a lot of pressure. There's a lot of stuff that's needed by a lot of people. So I'm not saying that that's a constant excuse for these folks, but just put yourself in their shoes and try to think about what they might be dealing with as well. Not to mention that everybody that works in these offices are required to be veterans. So some of them have disabilities and PTSD and anxiety and things like that as well. So some of the stuff may be triggering, who knows? But you still should be able to go in and get the help and what you need. We got to take a quick break. We'll be right back with you. Stick with us. Hey guys, welcome back here for the final segment. I don't want to beat up on our local County Veteran Service Office anymore. The fact of the matter is, I didn't have a pleasant experience. Although at the end of the day, the individual that helped me made good on what they told me they were going to do, and they did it. And so I do appreciate that. It brought me from a position of being upset and frustrated by my experience to thinking about it in a little bit different way, and knowing and putting myself in that person's shoes and knowing what it's like to be on that side of the desk. And so it doesn't, however, sway me away from the idea that we need to do a better job, because there isn't a whole lot of places to go and get the help for benefits that one would think. Now, other than, so, but anyway, I'm sorry, before I move on, thank you to that individual that helped me. If you ever see this this show, and this me talking about this, thank you for making good on what you told me you were going to do. I do appreciate that. Other than your County Veteran Service officers and their staff, the only other place there is to go for help with receiving benefits, other than the County Veteran Service Office, hiring an attorney, is your local branches of nationally chartered, congressionally chartered veteran service officers or offices, like the DAV, Disabled American Veterans, the American Legion, The VFWs, the Veterans of Foreign Wars, there's AMVETS, there's a few different ones, Vietnam Veterans of America, Military Order of the Purple Heart, although I'm not sure that they're still doing benefits work. They did some pretty big downsizing some years ago. Paralyzed Veterans of America. There's a few different ones. I'd say there's about seven, maybe eight. There's also even some organizations that are Native American Veterans Services, things like that. Now, you can sign for these folks to also be your power of attorney as it relates to dealing with the VA and benefits and compensation. You can sign a form to allow them to be your power of attorney to speak on your behalf with the VA, which some people may find intrusive, but I personally, in my experience working through my disability claims, I've done a few of them over all these years, I found it helpful because they kind of help you to decipher the documents that you receive from the VA about your claims. To help you to understand them a little better. For me, they were pretty confusing. There's a lot of words and a lot of if this, then that type thing. Like, if you're seeking benefits for condition A, then these three subsets need to be met. So you need to have this, you need to prove this, and you need to have that and prove this as well. And so it gets confusing because it's all kind of gets jumbled up and whatnot, but the nice thing about using, I use the American Legion here in Minnesota, in Minneapolis. The nice thing about using the American Legion here, for example, is that their office, well, all these VSOs, all these Veteran Service Organizations, they have offices in the same building where the Veterans Benefit Administration is housed. So the people here locally that are reviewing our claims and either granting them or rejecting them, or rejecting them pending this, and this piece of information. Once you get it to us, then we'll go ahead and process this claim again. They're on within two floors of each other. So the gentleman in which I use at the American Legion is able to, when I have questions or there's a concern or a discrepancy, he can get up from his desk, go up two flights of stairs, and talk to the person who has my file in front of them, which is super helpful because then there's no confusion about what it is that they're looking for. The questions can be asked face to face. That person can show them the piece of paper and go, well, if Mr. Leonard has this, this, and this, then we can go ahead and process this claim versus explaining it all. And it just makes the communication process a lot faster and a lot more efficient, which is important. Because as you may know, some veterans they're waiting months for these claims to be processed. So for me, it's been a pretty good experience to use those people. Plus, you can go in that building, excuse me. You can go in that building, you can sit down with this person, and they can go up and talk to the person while you're sitting in their office. So there's a few different different ways that it's more beneficial. So I think that when we started the show today, I was a little fired up. And now that I'm talking myself through it by talking to you, I'm not as fired up, but I just believe that we need to do better. We need to start asking questions of the people that regulate these offices and that staff these offices. Here in Minnesota, it would be our county commissioners and maybe our state representatives, but if they need more staff, we need to get them more staff. In the county I live in, there's several thousand veterans and only three people to help them. And sometimes these cases, they take, there's a lot of work, there's a lot of research, there's a lot of calling, there's a lot of waiting. You know, if you send inquiries off to the VA, for example, or to the Department of the Army, if you're looking for more information to give to the VA, you know, sometimes you're waiting. Some of these organizations take that full 30-day response window. And so then you got people waiting, and they're calling, and they're calling, and they're walking in like I did. And so if these places need to be staffed, we as a community need to put some pressure on them to do that. Because when they're overworked and understaffed, it affects their ability to provide quality customer service. And as it relates to the veteran community, I don't want to say that we're more volatile, but I think that in many respects, we're more sensitive to subpar customer service, whether it's that person's fault or not. Because all through your military career, subpar work wasn't usually acceptable. In many cases, at least in units that I was in, if we're going to do it, we're going to do it. And we're not going to do it half-assed, and we're not going to do part of the job. So maybe this is as simple as we need to start making calls and writing letters or writing emails to the people in which can affect the change, which I believe is county commissioners, especially here in Minnesota, and just tell them about your experience. And then these folks that are working in these offices, and I'm sure that they're vocal about the fact that they just have too many people and they're doing the best that they can, because I believe that there's metrics to what they have to provide for service numbers to justify their existence. And so maybe if they're asking for money to hire another person, they got to justify it somehow. But the fact of the matter is that if my voicemail to my veteran service officer sat in the queue for 13 days, that's a problem. Either they just don't care and they're not answering it, which I don't think is the deal from my experience today, or they don't have enough staff to check it. And if that's the case, that's also a problem. So let's get these places staffed. And let's get veterans the help that they need for their benefits, and make these places a little more welcoming to walk into. Because I believe that all these things contribute to veterans going, nah, I'm out of here. Throwing up their hands and turning around and walking away. And that doesn't help us to combat the already strong stigma or stereotype that their service is not as deserving as the next person. And that's something that we need to work on as a community with our brothers and sisters in arms. Because in my opinion, in my mind, it just simply is not true. My service is no better than anybody else's. And why don't we all? Somebody's going to get the benefit. Somebody's going to get it. It might as well be you and that somebody. It's already been promised to you. It was promised to you by Abraham Lincoln, for Pete's sake. Just read the mission statement of the Veterans Affairs Administration. Good old Honest Abe already promised you the benefits. They promised you the care. They promised you a lot of things. And I think that where the VA falls short, there's also opportunity for other areas to be better, which in turn will help the VA to stop falling short. So, with that said, I hope that some of this stuff invokes some good conversation around you. If you know veterans who are dealing with this type of thing that need help, with benefits or they believe that their service isn't worthy, please have those conversations with them. Try to help them to see it in a different light. I want to thank you all for joining us this week. And I just thank you. Thank you all for your service. I know that Veterans Day was a couple weeks ago, but every day is Veterans Day. So folks, get involved. Get with the veterans and the veteran supporters in your communities, in your life. And let's just try to maintain a positive atmosphere and lift up these folks that need assistance. So thanks again. We'll see you next week. Take care.